after 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com and remember...
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Madison police shared more information about this past weekend's mass shooting at a Monday press conference. 10 people had gunshot wounds, one person was hurt by broken glass, and another hurt themselves running from the scene. The victims were between ages 14 and 23. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes.
It is truly a miracle that no one is dead.
The shooting happened early Sunday morning during a rooftop party at downtown apartment complex The Lux. Madison police said they could be looking for two shooters, but they did not name any suspects. This was one of three shootings that happened in Madison over the weekend. Wisconsinites can expect a hotter than average summer this year. According to CBS 58, Wisconsin has a 30 to 40% chance of above average temperatures in June, July, and August. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers minicamp is underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers are holding practices this week before their summer break. GM Brian Gutekunst asked, has the team ruled out using a one-year franchise tag on quarterback Jordan Love?
Oh, I don't think we'd ever say that. You know, things can change, but that's not what we're focused on. We've got, you know, a lot of time here, and I think the thought process is to get Jordan locked up and move forward that way.
The Packers announcing family night will be Saturday, August 3rd, the team holding a practice in pads inside Lambeau Field, followed by fireworks. Tickets still just $10 per person. Baseball tonight, the Brewers and Blue Jays. For game two of their three-game series, the crew winning 3-1 last night. Milwaukee running out of pitchers. Pat Murphy telling reporters 25-year-old lefty Robert Gasser likely done for the season, along with Wade Miley, Brandon Woodruff. Well, that means 22-year-old right-hander Carlos Rodriguez will get his first major league start tonight for the Brewers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Look for a clear sky in the overnight. By daybreak, we'll be near 50 degrees with light north winds. On Tuesday, increasing clouds and highs in the upper 60s. A south breeze will develop at 5 to 10. That will bring in some moisture for some storms Tuesday night. Right now, it's 48.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age.
My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Busy Tuesday morning on the way. Welcome in, everyone. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'll tell you what, the team was busy yesterday running hither and yon. I was up at Prairie du Sac. We had the groundbreaking for a brand new U.S. Dairy Forage Research Facility. They'll start construction on that this fall and hopefully have it ready to go by 2027. I'm going to try to sneak that story in this morning. Aubrey Schlingen, our summer intern, she's been tracking the FFA activities that have already begun. The 95th State FFA Convention officially gets started today, but blue and gold were awash in Madison for their day of service, and Aubrey was along. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, giving us the latest updates on our crop progress report and how the market is reacting. Oh, yeah, you don't want to go anywhere else. Weather-wise, you might want to go somewhere else if you're looking for sunshine. Today, it looks like we're going to have cloudy skies. Daytime highs probably around 73 degrees. The winds are going to start to kick up a little bit after about 2 o'clock. Why? Because they're bringing in some possible showers and thunderstorms probably after about 5 p.m. Doesn't look like it's going to be a lot overnight, but then Wednesday night, we have to keep an eye on things. Sunshine during the day on Wednesday, warmer, 85 degrees. And then Wednesday night, we've got a chance of showers and thunderstorms, telling me that the new rainfall amounts the National Weather Service is expecting on Wednesday night between a quarter and a half inch of rain. We'll find out what Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, has to say about that in just a little bit. On a Tuesday morning, I want to focus in on a very serious subject that parents that have farm kids or kids that operate farm equipment should slow down and think about. I realize that you're really proud of your kids and you want them to be involved with you in farming activities, be that hobby agriculture or be that true production agriculture. It all involves the same kind of dangerous farm equipment. John Schutzke is a farm safety specialist with University Extension that's dedicated his career to trying to keep people safe around that farm equipment. And now he says, as he takes a look at the size of equipment we're using in agriculture today and the fact that Wisconsin still allows kids as young as 12 and 13 years of age to legally operate that equipment, well, he says it's time to reevaluate that. He said parents need to slow down and think. It's not just about the physical stature of your kids on that farm equipment. It's really about their mental ability to think about what's happening.
Yeah, and I think what happens, just like my dad, he said, hey, he's 12. John's 12. We can get him on. He can reach the clutch and the brake pedals. We taught him that the throttle is the same as the gas pedal, right? It's, but that assumes, in the case of me growing up disking corn stalks, going back and forth in the field without any sort of incident, without being able to have to go out on the highway or dealing with any type of an emergency, that's different. That's a different type of task. That's not unlike mowing the lawn, except with just a bigger piece of equipment. But yeah, you're right. If something happens, if there's a breakdown, if I remember when I was probably 17 or 18 applying anhydrous ammonia and my valve broke after I'd turned the applicator on out in the field. And by the time I was able to get the tractor stopped, you've got ammonia bubbling up through the soil. That took a lot of quick thinking. And that was difficult for me, even as a 17-year-old. If you're talking about a 12 or 13, or I would say even a 14 or 15-year-old, they're just not ready. They love to take risks. They don't necessarily understand that they are not immortal, or that they're not, that they think that they're immortal. They think that they're going to live forever. They don't realize that the consequences of these things, when they happen, they are life-altering, if not something that could leave you dead. And so kids just really, until they get to be young adults, and I know we have federal laws that say it's okay at 14 and 15 if they've gone through this certification program. But I say even at that point, you need a lot of supervision. You need almost constant supervision if you're talking about field operations. And the work up at Marshfield really says 14 and 15 is probably okay for smaller tractors. But again, when you start talking about large equipment, combines, forage harvesters, self-propelled sprayers or any type of big field equipment, probably 16, having a driver's license and having this same training is probably what's needed.
John Schutzke is in studio with us again, as you have probably experienced in the course of your life if you're in Wisconsin agriculture. He is a farm safety specialist, has focused most of his career on messages like this. Let's also tweak that parent that's out there. I receive spring and fall, and usually random through the summer, multiple text messages and emails about how those idiots around me drive, and don't they understand they can't pass me in a no passing? Don't they understand you can't pass on the right? That kind of thing. Those are the same people, John, that may be giving their youth permission to be on that very same road. You can't control the crazy around you on the road.
Well, you know, here in Dane County, around Madison or Eau Claire or Wausau, wherever you're at in the state, things are getting busier. Communities are growing, and a lot of times that growth is happening right adjacent to farming areas. And you're exactly right. I mean, it's just like when you're talking about a young person having difficulty making good decisions driving a piece of farm equipment. It's the same if you're a regular driver. But again, what I think about is these kids that might be operating this big piece of farm equipment or even a small piece of farm equipment out on the highway. It is farm safety becomes a bigger issue when you start to look at that public interaction. If you cross over into my domain, I'm a university employee, so I'm not a farmer anymore. But when you start to talk about adding to my level of risk, that's when people begin to become really concerned. So I worry about the public risk, the public safety aspect of this. But I also want to go back. I mean, there's so many stories. I've got this sheet here of like over 100 cases of kids between the ages of 11 and 15 around the country. And, you know, we're talking about deaths and serious injuries and roadway crashes and ATV, you know, turnovers. There was one just here recently, 2023, a Barneveld boy, age 13, died in a UTV accident. So the bottom line is when these things happen with all these stories, all 150 of these involve a family, they involve a community. I went to a visitation of a little boy, 18 months old, who died face down. It was a gutter of a little hog feed lot, a little Cargill unit. And he was out there with dad, supposedly helping, right? At age 18, toddler, had about a foot of water at the end of that gutter. He found him face down like a half hour later. And these tragedies just change families forever. They affect people's mental health and the trauma that goes with it. I've been doing this kind of work now for almost 40 years, 35 to 40 years. I don't want to say 40, but pretty close. And I've just seen so many of these, and I've seen how deeply families are impacted. I've seen suicides. I've seen divorces. I've seen early deaths because people just worry themselves to death because of the anxiety, and they're just, you know, they end up dying early because of the guilt and the heartbreak. So, it's always been my passion to try to prevent these things. And I just think here in Wisconsin, we need to really rethink this 12 and 13-year-old thing.
He has dedicated his career as a University Extension farm safety specialist to keeping people safe and healthy on the farm, and that includes our kids. John Schutzke along with me in studio. Now, we've got more conversation up on our podcast playlist right now. If you want to listen in, just go to MidwestFarmReport.com. John is also welcoming you to share your thoughts and ideas on the educational training for kids that are going to operate farm equipment. Is 12 and 13 too young to have them on the road with farm equipment? You can just Google his name, John Schutzke, S-H-U-T-S-K-E, and get connected with him there. Not the end of this conversation with John by any stretch of the imagination. Well, use your imagination and assume that Wisconsin can get a week of dry weather under its belt. No, I don't think it's going to happen either. Weather is on the way.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Get ready. ready to go all in for Cash Battles at Pottawatomie. This June, go head-to-head with your fellow club members for a chance at your share of 200 grand in cash. Play with your club card for entries. Hourly drawings on June 6th and 20th from 4 to 8 p.m. Each drawing, two winners split 20 grand. Cash Battles at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel Milwaukee. It's the biggest cash bash of the summer. More info at PaysBig.com. Must be 21 and a club member to play.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Janesville area, and that caused issues for people like Scott Skelly. He's at Skelly's Market just outside of Janesville. In fact, Stephanie Hoff was on her way to the farm market yesterday and ended up finding out that some roads are still closed in the Janesville area because of high waters. That's not deterring folks from heading to Skelly's Market, though. Scott Skelly says the strawberries are ready.
Yeah, down in Janesville, it is the prime time for strawberry season right now, where mid-season berries are just starting, which are always kind of the cream of the crop, the big berries, the delicious tasting ones. We have had a lot of rain in the previous week or so, but things are drying out now. Things are looking good. It's definitely a good time for people to, you know, get out and pick berries. And if you're, you know, kind of heading northern in the state, you know, they're getting really close to hitting that same prime time here very quickly.
Yeah, I'm seeing that on some Facebook pages, websites. Northern Wisconsin also starting to creep up on their strawberry season. That's Scott Skelly. You know, Skelly's Market, they're happy to have you for picking of strawberries, but they did say the water got so high that their playground for at least a little while was underwater. Things are receding, and Scott's got a smile on his face because he said before all the rain showed up, they had a good chance to get started on another summertime favorite, sweet corn.
Yeah, we had a warm spring this year, and sweet corn is definitely ahead of schedule, so we're hoping possibly by around the 4th of July this year for sweet corn. We'll have some greenhouse tomatoes coming in here in the next couple weeks, and then by late July, we'll have muskmelon, we'll have watermelon, cucumbers and zucchini. I saw some zucchini blossoms forming the other day already, so, you know, some of these summer vegetables are, you know, right around the corner.
There you go. Keeping the positive in his voice. That's Scott Skelly. He is one of the staff members, the family members that makes Skelly's Farm Market work. It's really fun to talk with him. Stumach Ag Meteorologist joining us now. It's really fun to talk with that young man. I've been in this seat long enough now. I remember when Scott was kind of the first one that ever tried or figured out how to use computer graphics to cut corn mazes. He ended up doing corn maze design across the United States. He did that when he was an FFA member. He got a lot of attention at the state FFA convention. So it seems like a full circle story for me and for a lot of our farm audience to be talking with him as a successful agribusiness person in the Janesville area during this State FFA Week, you know, kind of a full circle deal. It's you get a lot of that where we come from, folks. Stu and I both. You watch people start as 4-H FFA exhibitors, and they move their way through the ranks, college students, and then out into the world as farmers and agribusiness folks. You know, like Scott said, though, they are still battling soggy fields. I just got a text message this morning from one of my growers I was supposed to meet this afternoon. He said, geez, Pam, I sorry to do it to you, but I got to cancel. I'm going to be making hay instead of coming to meet with you for an interview, and I sure understand.
Yeah, and hope they can get the hay made before the rain tries to sneak in.
Yeah, now when is that? I see that it's kind of poking around as soon as, what, like 2 o'clock?
In the southern part of the state, yeah. In the northwestern part of the state, it's already kind of misty and clear in that northwest part of the state. The rain, according to the radar, is still west of Wisconsin, but right up from south central into north central Minnesota, just off the northwest edge of Wisconsin. So it's going to march east today, the frontal boundary extending down from Minnesota into Iowa, northern Missouri. As that front pushes east, rain will move in. Northwest Wisconsin, the first to see it today. And then it spreads eastward across the strait through midday, through later afternoon or tonight. This isn't a big one. This initial system could mean a tenth of an inch, maybe two in a few areas. Yeah, I know where the water's standing. It's too much. We don't need it. We need it to dry out. But that rain is going to move through today. There's a secondary front to follow. That's the one to show a little more concern. Late Wednesday, Wednesday night, showers and thunderstorms redevelop as the cold front sweeps in. And that's the one with thunderstorms that could have some winds, maybe some hail. That would appear to be a possibility, say, northern, northeast, specifically Iowa, southeast Minnesota, into that northwestern part of Wisconsin, where there could be some very strong winds, maybe some hail possibility. We'll watch that. That's not until late Wednesday night. Maybe we'll get a clearer picture tomorrow, but I expect more rain out of that second system as well. And there's some quarter to half inch amounts in western Wisconsin, 3/4 inch. And the temperatures are going to warm up between all of this, staying fairly mild today, getting warmer for Wednesday and Thursday. In fact, we're going to talk about 80 degree highs as we look at Wednesday and Thursday, only cooling a little bit for Friday and the weekend. Those temperatures still very warm as we make our way through the rest of this week. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Around the clock, your dairy cows rely on you. And when you need support, Compare Financial is here. Here with cutting-edge ag finance technology, industry knowledge, and local experience to help your farm thrive. As avid supporters of the dairy industry, we tip our hats to you during June Dairy Month and every other month of the year. Contact us at 844-426-6733 or visit Compare.com today. Compare Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
To help take care of your ag operation, you're going to need the brand that you call One Tough Animal. Bobcat Plus, they carry new and used Bobcat equipment and also feature a full service department, parts, rental, so there's no need to worry about downtime. Skid steer loaders, mini excavators, utility vehicles, and so much more. There's a Bobcat Plus location just down the road. Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere. Those chores around the farm just got a lot easier. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, One Tough Animal.
Boy, it sounds like it's a good thing that yesterday's Day of Service projects, all those FFA kids helping the Dane County Park system and outside building beds for little kids that don't have them. Good thing that happened yesterday, not today, huh, Stu?
Yeah, today will still be okay until later in the day, but that heat's going to turn up a little bit more, so it's going to feel more summery. We start out sunny for most of the state, except for the west and northwest where the clouds are building in. That chance of rain a bit later this morning in northwest Wisconsin, then spreads east and southeast through the state. Not until late afternoon in eastern Wisconsin where there will be a chance of rain. Temps up into the 70s, low and mid-70s today. Southwest winds about 5 to 10. A rain chance yet this evening. Some clouds clearing out later on. Very upper 50s and low 60s. More mild overnight. South winds 5 to 10. Mostly sunny Wednesday. Some rain chance building into the west late in the day. Up into the low and mid 80s with the southwest winds at 5 to 10. Wednesday night, showers. That's where it could get a bit stormy. The chance of lingering rain Thursday, Pam, then clearing later on. And still low and mid-80s with the west winds gusting to 20 and 30 on Thursday. A little breezy, hopefully, to help dry it up a little bit.
Boy, we're going to need it, buddy. This is not a good situation. Today is my day. Prevent plant flag is up for northeast Wisconsin.
Yeah, I believe it. There's been a lot of rough decisions.
Yeah. All right, Stu. Thanks, buddy. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, joining us on a Tuesday morning. There's your weather details. We've got more details from the state FFA convention. That's going to be coming your way next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke. It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
The annual June Pride event in Milwaukee is the oldest and largest in the state. U.S. News and World Report also includes it as one of the top 20 LGBTQ plus celebrations in the country. But the parade and several-day festival started as a one-day protest. The Milwaukee demonstration in June of 1970 was timed around the first anniversary of the brutal police raid at the Stonewall Inn in New York City. It's also the first time people showed support for gay rights in Wisconsin, sparking a social awakening that continues today. I'm Terry Barr.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL-HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
CBS News Brief. Secretary of State Blinken's in Israel reaffirming his support for a ceasefire plan newly approved by the U.N. Security Council.
We're waiting to see. Everyone has said yes, except for Hamas.
The U.N.'s Human Rights Office says civilian deaths during last week's hostage rescue mission could amount to war crimes. Four instructors from Iowa's Cornell College were attacked with a knife at a public park in China. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
Iowa Congresswoman Marionette Miller Meek said her office is working with the U.S. Embassy to ensure victims receive care for their injuries and depart China safely.
Deliberations resume this morning at Hunter Biden's federal gun trial in Delaware. CBS's Scott McFarlane is covering the case in Wilmington.
The jury here spent about an hour deliberating before the judge sent them home to return at 9 a.m. Eastern time. That was after about 3 hours of closing arguments and a six-day trial.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Madison police shared more information about this past weekend's mass shooting at a Monday press conference. 10 people had gunshot wounds, one person was hurt by broken glass, and another hurt themselves running from the scene. The victims were between ages 14 and 23. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes.
It is truly a miracle
that no one is dead.
The shooting happened early Sunday morning during a rooftop party at downtown apartment complex The Lux. Madison police said they could be looking for two shooters, but they did not name any suspects. This was one of three shootings that happened in Madison over the weekend. Wisconsinites can expect a hotter than average summer this year. According to CBS 58, Wisconsin has a 30 to 40% chance of above average temperatures in June, July, and August. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers minicamp is underway.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers are holding practices this week before their summer break. GM Brian Gutekunst asked, has the team ruled out using a one-year franchise tag on quarterback Jordan Love?
I don't think we'd ever say that. You know, things can change, but that's not what we're focused on. We've got, you know, a lot of time here, and I think the thought process is to get Jordan locked up and move forward that way.
The Packers announcing family night will be Saturday, August 3rd, the team holding a practice in pads inside Lambeau Field, followed by fireworks. Tickets still just $10 per person. Baseball tonight, the Brewers and Blue Jays for game two of their three-game series, the crew winning 3-1 last night. Milwaukee running out of pitchers. Pat Murphy telling reporters 25-year-old lefty Robert Gasser likely done for the season, along with Wade Miley, Brandon Woodruff. So that means 22-year-old right-hander Carlos Rodriguez will get his first major league start tonight for the Brewers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Look for a clear sky in the overnight. By daybreak, we'll be near 50 degrees with light north winds. On Tuesday, increasing clouds and highs in the upper 60s. A south breeze will develop at 5 to 10. That will bring in some moisture for some storms Tuesday night. Currently 46 degrees.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Without a committee hearing, North Carolina Senate Republicans slipped a dark money amendment into an already controversial anti-mask bill. The amendment allows contributors to wash campaign donations through national political groups, making it harder to trace the source. The bill started out as the Unmasking Mobs and Criminals Act, a ban on North Carolinians from wearing non-surgical masks in public aimed at identifying protesters. Just before the bill went to the full Senate for a vote June 6th, Section 5 A and B were added, changing state campaign finance rules to allow national political groups, such as Governors Associations or U.S. House or Senate PACs, to make campaign contributions directly to state candidates. North Carolina Newsline reports that the amendment was never heard in committee. Such contributions would allow wealthy donors to donate to a national group and for the national group to give money in its name to North Carolina candidates. The original donor's name would not show up in state campaign finance reports, only in federal reports weeks or months later. The bill passed the state Senate 28-0 after Democrats walked out in protest. The anti-mask bill, which ironically masked donors influencing North Carolina elections, now returns to the House for a concurrence vote. We have a link to the amendment and the groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, three district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like Skee Ball, made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of Skee Ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee-Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee-Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love my kids so much. I once sat for 3 hours in the cold rain to watch her soccer team lose by 18 goals.
I love my kids so much, I once used a tube to suck snot out of her stuffed nose at 3 a.m.
You win.
Love your kids? Love them enough to make sure they're in the right car seat. From toddlers to tweens, visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat to find the right seat for their age and size. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Pam Yonke.
Right. Busy, busy, busy around the old farm department these days. Up in just a moment, Aubrey Schlimgen, our summer intern, going to bring us an update from the 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention. Yesterday was their day of service, and Aubrey was right along with them. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Weather-wise, what I can tell you is temperatures are going to be changing. Today's daytime highs might be pretty comfortable, probably around 73 degrees. Tonight into tomorrow, weather starts changing. Tomorrow we'll have sunshine. 85 are expected high. Winds are going to start to pick up, and by Wednesday evening, another chance of showers or thunderstorm back in our forecast. We'll have to wait and see on rainfall amounts. Right now, the National Weather Service saying between a quarter and a half an inch is possible. Remember, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He's checking in live with us this morning. If there's a commodity-related question, something in the markets that you want John to address, you can go ahead and share that with me now via our talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM, 877-301-3276. Let me know what's on your mind this morning. I'll share it with John. So today is the 11th day of June. On this day, back in 1999, Milwaukee Brewer Paul Molitor had his number 4 jersey retired. Happened in a pregame ceremony at County Stadium on this day back in 1999. On this day in 1959, a fellow named Christopher Cockrell presented the hovercraft. He was using it as an air cushioned vehicle that crossed the English Channel. And you know what? They actually had those flights on the English Channel until 2000. But it started on this day back in 1959. Happy birthday to former race car driver Jackie Stewart, 85 years young. Actor Hugh Laurie, 65. And little person Peter Dinklage, who is probably best known for Game of Thrones. He is 55 years young today. And now you know. The 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention officially convenes at the Alliant Energy Center today. But yesterday, there was a sea of blue and gold T-shirts for their annual day of service. Our summer intern, Aubrey Schlimgen, got a chance to catch up with the FFA members in action and the advisor leading them. Former state officer herself, Amelia Hayden, is now an agriculture instructor up at Osseo Fairchild, and she undertook coordinating the day of service on Monday. She said it's all about inspiring those young people to find their purpose, the reason they serve.
Day of service started back when a state FFA officer actually got this idea that we should kick off convention with getting our members in that living to serve mindset and finding ways that we can share all the gifts that we have prior to a week of celebrating those gifts. And so it has evolved since then, this year expanding to over 320 students volunteering across the Madison area at 11 different sites. So we're really excited to be able to give back in that capacity in one of our biggest events yet.
So tell us a little bit about what events are actually happening. There's a Sleep in Heavenly Peace happening in the parking lot out here. Take us through. I know there's a lot this year, but describe what some of those are that these students are going out and doing in the Madison area.
Certainly. So you mentioned the Sleep in Heavenly Peace project, where we build beds for children who may not have access to those. So we've got several groups of students working out in the Alliant Energy Center parking lot today, building those and putting their construction skills to use. And then we've also got different groups out at the Ronald McDonald clubhouse, different community centers throughout the Madison area, various parks through the city of Madison parks, as well as Dane County Park System. So really giving back to not only improve our community areas, but also some of those shared spaces and natural resources that we hold dear in the Madison area.
So what is the significance of Day of Service? Obviously, you talked a little bit about this was started by a state officer wanting to give back those gifts to this area, but explain the impact that these certain things have on the greater Madison area, and how does that affect, you know, when the students are all said and done?
So as I mentioned, we have over 320 students volunteering and then another 30 advisors. Times the 3 hours that each student will dedicate, we have over 1,000 hours that are being donated to the Madison area in making this a better place. And I think individually on those students, as they sit in the reflections program put on by the state officers, and they think about really why we're here and what the importance of FFA is, it really, really recenters them on what it means to serve others and what it means to acquire all these leadership skills that they're building. It's really for the purpose of giving back and for making our community and our world a better place through their leadership.
So now you have taken into this role of, you know, helping put on this Day of Service. What's that been looking like this past couple weeks in preparing for Day of Service? What has your role looked like this week?
It has been a lot of fun finding partner sites across the Madison area that are willing to have groups of students come out, and then coordinating all the logistics and details behind the scenes, like getting t-shirts and coordinating buses to get all the students out to their sites, getting water so that students don't get dehydrated while they're out serving the community. So there's a lot of little details and pieces that it's exciting to see those all culminate together in the event this afternoon.
Where do you see Day of Service going? Obviously, we talked about these wonderful events that are happening today. What are your hopes in the future with Day of Service? I mean, it still has to take place. Obviously, we got to get through the day first. But what do you hope to help spark now that today goes on, hopefully for the future of Day of Service?
Yeah, I'm excited to see the number of sites we're at continue to grow. This year is one of our largest events that we've had yet with the number of student volunteers we were able to accommodate. And so I'd like to see that continue to grow, continue to get new partners around the Madison and Dane County area, and really give back to people who need it. I think a common feedback I get from partner sites whenever I have FFA members volunteering somewhere is we should have had more work for them. Like, they got that done a lot quicker than we thought. And I love to hear that. Love to hear about the work ethic of so many of our FFA members going out into the community, and would just love to expand that reach even more to more sites. And so if there's people out there listening that are like, huh, this Day of Service thing sounds kind of cool, they can definitely reach out to me to get on the list for next year and get students out to their side as well.
Amelia Hayden, she is the agriculture instructor from Osseo Fairchild that helped to coordinate this year's Day of Service for the Wisconsin State FFA. Now, I want you to follow along at Midwest Farm Report, Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, because Aubrey will be posting pictures, videos, reels, whatever she can muster together, sharing the story of what's happening at the Alliant Energy Center with the blue and gold all week long. Take a quick break. Back with the markets, John Heinberg also on the way. With the wet weather Wisconsin's had, a lot of farmers concerned about the quality of their crops. Steve Bailey, who is a market manager with Helena Agri in Monroe, says they're ready to help.
So we do have a rig that can spread urea over the top, so we can obviously put any of the dry fertilizer or products out there that we would have in our shed. And this year we did get a set of Y drops for our spray rigs. So if a guy needs some potassium, we can go out there with a Nuke O21 product, with a potassium product with some sulfur in it, get some nitrogen out there. So we do have multiple options to get out there and get nutrients in the field if we do see that deficiency. Third option we have is Helena has a great lineup of foliar nutrition products. As long as we have enough vegetative tissue out there, usually that's a V5 application or later, we can put some nutrition through the leaf tissue as well.
Steve Bailey, market manager in Monroe with Helena Agri. Find more HelenaAgri.com. I was in the crowd yesterday when they broke ground on a brand new U.S. Dairy Forage Research Facility that will be constructed just outside of Prairie du Sac. Dr. Dennis Hancock is the current center director for the U.S. Dairy Forage Research Facility. He said this one has been in the plans for a long time.
The first appropriation actually was back in 2018 for the FY19 budget, and that was when Senator Cole was actually helping to spur this on. Actually, if you go back even further than that, the initial phase in 2011, we got fairly far along, and unfortunately, funds had to go back to headquarters at that point because of budget cuts. Mm. And so we had to scrap the plan at that point. And then we restarted in 2019, whenever we got the new funds to come in. So yeah, it's been a long time coming, and a lot of folks have worked on this project over the years, and I'm glad to get to represent them.
Dr. Dennis Hancock, he is the current center director for the U.S. Dairy Forage Research Center. Now, this one that they're going to undertake is a whopper, state of the art. It will involve 18 different barns, basically all connected. It is going to be a holistic approach to figuring out exactly what that dairy cow is giving off as far as fumes, microbes, you name it. They are going to have advanced robotic milking systems, chambers for measuring greenhouse gas emissions, an advanced animal nutrition unit, a state-of-the-art laboratory system for agronomy and dairy science, plus a visitor center. They hope to begin construction this fall with completion by 2027. I'll have more details on that for you probably sometime, maybe tomorrow, if we get the opportunity. Farmers didn't get much of a chance to do field work last week, only about 3 days that were suitable, according to the latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service. As of Sunday, 87% of our corn was in the ground, 69% of that crop called good to excellent. 87% of our soybeans have been planted, about 75% of that crop called good to excellent. The alfalfa first cutting dropped off as far as quality was concerned, 61% complete, that's 6 days behind, and only 79% called good to excellent. That's a decline in a week's time. Markets this morning in overnight electronic trade are a little bit mixed. Currently, we've got December corn trading up to at 470. November soybeans down a penny at 1157. July wheat currently 2.5 cents higher at 610. The barrel cheese was up a penny and a quarter at 196 and three quarters. 40-pound black cheese up 5 and a quarter at 189 and three quarters. While AA butter dropped a penny and a quarter to 308 per pound. The July Class 3 milk this morning is up 3, 2064 a hundredweight. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese yesterday closed 61 cents higher at 2095 a hundredweight. Goodness, what is going on with that? We're going to talk about it next. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, on deck.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Not just farmers, traders as well, huh, John?
Yeah, we've got some potential heat or heat moving into the Midwest here, building up from the southern plains and southwestern part of the United States. So it's starting to become something we're going to start talking about now. Okay, the crop is in the ground. We got that crop, you know, planting numbers yesterday, 95% complete. I don't think we've ever, you know, that last 5% always kind of seems to hang in limbo. And, you know, we'll work those acres out come September when they do the final numbers. But now we're keeping an eye on what's going to happen with the weather. We're off to a great start, at least in terms of the crop conditions. Again, maybe questions regarding that because of the conditions some of this crop got put into. But, you know, corn 74%, good to excellent, significantly higher than last year, got solid 10% points there. Soybeans at 72%, good to excellent. You know, so we're looking at a pretty decent start to this crop. And obviously with wet weather and that we put together, now throw some heat at it, might actually be pretty good here. So now the key is going to be how long? What's the heat duration going to be? Does the moisture stay with it? At least initially, what we're watching is the weather going to be fairly friendly for crop growth, you know, above active in terms of precipitation, good heat to it. That's a greenhouse type event, and this crop should respond fairly well. Let's see what happens as we move into July and August, where this heat sounds like it's going to stay around here pretty much most of the summer.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live on a Tuesday morning on the Midwest Farm Report. You can find him, totalfarmmarketing.com, or give him a call, 800-334-9779. John, let's talk more about that heat. One crop in particular is right in the throes of needing weather, and that's wheat. What's going on there?
Well, that wheat market's had its peak, at least at this time frame, in terms of this rally. And, you know, we see these types of rallies that are kind of just when the market really kicks in like that, they have a tendency to leave just as fast as they came in. And we saw that last year in the corn market with a 1 week rally for our window to sell corn. You know, here was that opportunity for wheat producers. We lost over a dollar a bushel now here in the last 10 sessions off that wheat market, as all of a sudden the world concerns regarding supplies are still there, but just maybe we ran this thing too far too fast. Obviously here, the U.S. side of the equation, again, we struggle on the competitiveness in the terms of the global wheat market anyway. And prices just didn't need to be at those levels. Add into the fact now KC wheat or the hard red winter wheat harvest is starting to kick in. And that's something that's also going to put that harvest pressure into the marketplace. So we've seen some pretty big moves in that wheat market. Maybe we're getting to a little bit of a pause point here. We did see Russia drop that wheat crop, or Soviet Econ dropped their wheat crop to 80 million metric tons. That's down another 2 million from just a couple of weeks ago. Plus, we had the issue with Turkey raising their import tariffs. So basically cutting off any wheat imports, which majority of their wheat came from Russia. It might be a sign of those two working together to keep supplies in Russia to help out with food costs there. So there's still some things that could come out of that market yet as we get into the summer. But at least right now, that rally seems to be on the back burner here, according to the way the market's acting.
John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Heat is also being felt to a certain extent in the cattle market. What's going on there?
You know, that's one thing that we, you know, it's a little bit of an outlier, obviously, with cattle is how things can grow, how things cattle or, you know, the cattle can respond to weather. And if we are looking at a prolonged heat event or a hotter than normal summer, already dealing with our tight supplies, you know, we saw a pretty good pop in the cattle market yesterday. Some of that is tied to just the time of the year. It's a bit of a sweet spot for cattle right now. You've got just got past Memorial Day. Now we got Father's Day. And then we got the 4th of July peak grilling demand window here. And the supplies are still tight, and the U.S. consumer is still at least hanging in there at this time frame. So we saw the market really try to catch up a little bit to the cash market, I think, yesterday. Now throw in the prospects that maybe we're looking at a hotter summer, a drier summer over the cattle country, and that could come back and limit some of those weight gains, tighten that supply up a little bit more. The market might be pricing that in a little bit early, given the fundamentals, at least in terms of the cattle supply.
Interesting. And, you know, every producer I've talked to, John, wonders if we're about to the end on these cattle prices. I mean, weather notwithstanding, it is just in such crazy lofty territory.
Yeah, I'm going to be very cautious with this market going forward. First off, just concerns regarding the consumer really keep coming at me with inflation still staying where it is. The tightness of the consumer dollars we've seen here with, you know, in terms of credit card debt, things of that nature. You know, if they just shut off and start moving to cheaper products of protein in terms of poultry or pork, you know, this beef market could get overvalued. So to me, a rally in this window is an opportunity for producers to lock in some long-term levels of support here and lock some of these prices in.
Very good point. John Heimberg joining us live on a Tuesday morning. TotalFarmMarketing.com. He's in West Bend. Pick up the phone. Give him a call. 800-334-9779. Thank you, John. Tomorrow morning, we will be bringing you more from the state FFA convention. Hope you'll tune in. Have a good day.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
The bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com and remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
USDA researchers are hard at work finding ways to protect Americans and American agriculture from animal diseases. More today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The National Bio and Agro Defense Facility was located in Manhattan, Kansas for a reason. As an extension of and an eventual replacement for the USDA's Plum Island Animal Disease Center in New York, the NBAF operation is close to many of the country's animal health companies and researchers. Katie Pulaski is Communications Director.
This area is really great for establishing collaborations with partners on the academic side, from industry, and even other federal agencies who share our interests in protecting the nation's food supply, our agricultural economy, and public health.
Pulaski reiterates, collaboration is key.
I think it's important to note that none of the research that will be done here at MBAF is classified. Our goal is to share the research, to share the vaccine precursors and the work. There's a lot of agreements. There's technology transfer. There's all that that goes into working with industry. But our goal in the end is we are not being successful in our mission if we are not sharing the work that's being done here as widely as we can.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to WRJN and W260 CV Racine, W251 BU Kenosha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin in Israel and the push for the latest U.S. ceasefire deal. It's been approved.